Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 30th. And I didn't expect so much snow on the roads or my driveway this morning. You might want to give yourself a little extra time to clear it off. I did expect the cold temperatures, and it's only going to get colder, I hear, so get used to it. And that's what our guest this hour will say about video surveillance. When governments or even private businesses install cameras to watch what you're doing, get used to it, she says, because maybe privacy is overrated and maybe these cameras that are watching us are serving a useful purpose that really doesn't interfere with our rights. We'll discuss what she calls the merits, drawbacks, and inevitability of the surveillance nation from a recent piece she wrote for Reason Online. And we have a recent example of this phenomenon in the news right here in our own backyard. The city of Madison is considering installing two cameras downtown to try to watch out for lawbreakers. Is this okay with you? Is it no big deal if Big Brother, or big business for that matter, is watching you? Is it okay with you that there could be videotapes of your comings and goings? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Now, Madison is considering installing two webcams downtown. Compare this to Chicago, which has 200 right now and plans to add 100 more. And New York, which has more than 4,000 cameras in public places watching your comings and goings. Our guest is Catherine Mangu Ward, associate editor of Reason Magazine. She wrote a recent piece that was entitled, Is Privacy Overrated? And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Joy.
So I know you're not completely familiar with our local proposal here in Madison to install these webcams in apparently trouble spots. They could be moved around to various trouble spots so that police can look on the internet and monitor what's going on, make sure there's not any trouble happening. Is this a big deal?
It's not. The kind of privacy that people are worried about losing is largely an illusion already. Certainly, it's reasonable to shy away from the idea of the all-seeing eye watching everything that you do. But the existence of, in Madison's case, two web cameras simply isn't that much of a departure from the status quo, as it seems. People are already leaving a trail of records behind them wherever they go. And police are on the street, I'm sure, in the trouble spots already. There can actually be upsides to a video record of your behavior in those trouble spots.
What kind of upsides?
Well, one of the big upsides that doesn't get discussed very much is monitoring the behavior of police as well as criminals. For example, if you're accused of making trouble in one of those trouble spots, say, I understand that some of the areas are heavy with bars, and say you're accused of drunken, disorderly conduct. It may be that you can be cleared by a videotape if there's a police officer who testifies against you. In most cases, without alternate evidence, the police officer is going to win out. But there have been lots of instances, particularly in New York during rallies or protests, where video evidence from private and public cameras have cleared people of unfair charges.
Yeah, that's the thing I think, though, that might trouble some is, you know, I don't know, somebody wants to go to a demonstration downtown or somebody wants to go, and you noted this in your piece, maybe someone's psychiatrist office is downtown and they don't want to be videotaped walking into that office or attending that controversial political rally or going into that gay bar to get a drink. Isn't that, aren't those privacy rights that we have that we should be worried about if cameras are taking pictures of us?
The factor of the matter is that none of those actions were particularly private to begin with. First of all, you have to walk through public streets in which we don't have an expectation of privacy. But second, and I think far more interesting and important for modern life, is that we were trackable already. If you go into the gay bar and buy a drink, most people won't hesitate to throw down their credit card and say, buy a round for the bar. And once that's done, there's a record. There's an electronic record, and police or anyone who would like to have those records can subpoena them. Likewise, with the fertility clinic, you'd certainly pay with a credit card. Also, we're used to having many modern conveniences that leave an electronic or digital trail behind us. For example, when we use the GPS in our cell phones when we're lost, or when we use a trackable metro card in New York or a toll-paying easy pass on the road. These are all instances where we're actually benefiting from the upsides of zero privacy, where private companies, for the most part, are aggregating our records and making our lives more convenient.
We're going to check weather, and we're also going to see if we can get a little better telephone connection with our guest. It's cracking and breaking up a little bit. We're talking about the pros and cons of video surveillance in our communities. Cameras are everywhere. They're in stores and at gas stations, and now more governments are installing or thinking of installing cameras in public places to watch for lawbreakers, to prevent crime. Madison has joined the list, and the Madison police want to install two webcams in the downtown. They'd move them around. Is this okay with you? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Certainly don't have to live in Madison to respond to the question. These cameras really are everywhere. Chicago has hundreds of them. New York City, 4,200 of them. Do you mind that you're being watched? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 30th. Tonight, Governor Doyle delivers his State of the State address, 7 o'clock tonight. We'll broadcast it live here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can also watch it on Wisconsin Public Television. And I hope you'll be here tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 when we talk about it all morning long. We'll have all sorts of different guests here, different politicians and experts and analysts to talk with you about the State of the State and the various initiatives and proposals unveiled by Governor Doyle. That's coming up tonight at 7 and all day tomorrow morning. Right now, we're talking about whether or not privacy is overrated, talking about the merits, drawbacks, and inevitability of the surveillance nation, the name of a piece written by our guest this hour for Reason Online. Catherine Mangu Ward is associate editor of Reason Magazine, and she wrote this piece that caught our eye, especially when we also saw in the news that Madison is among the growing list of communities that is planning on or wants to install cameras in public places to monitor criminal activity, to look for a crime, to try to prevent crime. Is this a big deal or not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Well, look at this. Lots of people want to talk about this, including Ray in Milwaukee. Hi, Ray. You're on the air.
Good morning to you and your guest. I think I'm overall against the use of cameras. It kind of just creeps me out being an American citizen here and all the other stuff going on. But I want to bring up the one instance recently where they have come in very useful. The gentleman in Britain, he was a Brazilian citizen. He was killed on the subway there. And the initial reports were this man was running. He had come from a house that they were investigating with terrorism. And the first reports were the man had run and he was evading the police. And when he finally got on the subway, all they could do was kill him. Well, when they finally looked at the surveillance videos, the man was never running. He bought a newspaper. He calmly walked onto the train. And without any provocation, the officers came onto the train and executed him. Now, there is one case where the cameras were helpful, but overall, I don't want to see them.
Well, Catherine, that was one of your points, that this could get capture wrongdoing by police, too.
Sure, and it's actually worth remembering that the London subway bombers were caught largely because their images were caught on camera. So the London subway cameras have gone both ways already in helping correct police misbehavior, dramatic, horrible police misbehavior, and also in catching real criminals and real threats.
But we can't have it both ways, though, can we, Catherine? You can't say, I want the cameras to pick up wrongdoing by police, but leave me out of it.
That's true. And with all due respect to Ray, who certainly calls in with an excellent point, I think there is a real visceral reaction. This idea, I don't like being watched, is something that's, you know, you might even say fundamentally American. But it's worth facing the reality that you're already being watched in a variety of ways, both, as I say, on your credit cards, on your GPS on your cell phone, and by police in public areas. And the step to surveillance cameras is not a dramatic end to privacy as we know it. It's quite incremental, and in many cases might do us more harm than good, even for innocent citizens.
Yeah, your piece for Reason Online that caught our attention noted the New York City Civil Liberties Union's report, where they were concerned about all these cameras. And let me just quote the section that you wrote about. There is only limited recognition in the law that there are some places into which a surveillance camera is not allowed to intrude, and there are virtually no rules that prohibit police or private entities from archiving, selling, or freely transmitting images captured by a video surveillance camera. The courts have yet to address the fundamental privacy and associational rights implicated by the phenomenon of widespread video surveillance. The ACLU in New York has reason to be concerned about that, right?
Yes, and I do think that that is a debate worth having. I quote that passage because it is a legitimate concern about what is done with the tape, where the tape goes, who gets to see it, and particularly where the cameras go. I noticed in Madison, one of the particular hot points for installing the cameras is at a club, Club Majestic, I guess, where there's been some problems in the past. And in New York, there's a proposal right now to mandate the installation of cameras inside clubs. Now, this, I think, crosses a very important line. It's one thing for there to be cameras owned by public entities in a public space, like government cameras. It's another thing for businesses to own their own cameras, which they need for their own purposes and which may occasionally be subpoenaed by government. But for government to require a camera in a public space crosses the line. And there should be a public debate about it. Likewise, what happens with the footage of those cameras, either in a public or a private space, is something worth talking about, though it may be best settled in the courts, where subtler shadings can be appreciated rather than in a legislature where an all-out ban or an all-out permission is more likely to occur.
We go next to Colin in Green Bay. And let me invite listeners to join us now. We had full lines and everybody gave up in a matter of moments. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We're talking about the pros and cons of video cameras watching our every move in public places in many cities across the nation, including a proposal now to install some cameras downtown in Madison. Wondering if this concerns you, whether you have thoughts or concerns or questions about this phenomenon. And Colin in Green Bay is next. Hi, Colin. You're on the air.
Morning to both of you.
Morning.
One of the things I find funny, and I'm okay with the idea, people have to realize they're worried about privacy. But then when we're talking about public land, it's kind of like saying jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron. I don't really mind it as long as we are vigilant that it doesn't become Orwellian in its approach. There is an upside I'd like to also talk about. I think that instead of using a lower grade camera, they should use a higher grade camera that they can couple face recognition with. And you'd have a wider net for tracking the terrorists that we know are within our own borders already or standing a better chance of actually finding them. So I don't really have an issue with this.
Yeah, when does it step into the Orwellian aspects, Colin? You said as long as it doesn't become Orwellian.
Well, when it becomes a point of almost where people are having these unreal fears that everything they do is being watched, and again, as you said, in a sense, anytime you use a credit card, you're leaving a trail anyhow that anybody could find if they wanted to.
Yeah. Catherine?
I think it's a good point that Colin is making, and the idea of using face recognition technology is certainly something that's hotly debated. The problem, I think, at this point is that facial recognition technologies aren't quite good enough yet, and while it's certainly worth experimenting, and perhaps it's more worth experimenting somewhere where it is very small scale, like in Madison, where there's just one or two cameras and a few people who are directly responsible for them. That might actually be a better place to experiment than in a major city. But the danger of false positives and the danger of misidentifying people to their detriment right now, I think, is still too high. That said, it's certainly worthwhile to prepare infrastructure for future technological developments. But on the point of when things become Orwellian, if you'll recall, the major feature of 1984 that most people find troubling is the camera that sits in people's homes, that sees what they do in their own apartments. And a camera in a public street is a far cry from that. And while we certainly should draw the line between the camera in the public street and the camera in your living room, I think we're pretty far away off from that yet.
Let's hope. Scott in Menasha. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm already being videotaped in all the stores I go to, gas stations, all that. I wouldn't mind public because I'm not a criminal. I don't rob. I don't steal. And it could only keep me out of trouble if I was ever accused of anything. But the only thing is, I think there should be a time limit on how long they keep them, and if they're of no value, you know, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of the videotape.
Get rid of the videos after a certain amount of time if they're of no value for evidence. They don't need to keep them forever.
Mm-hmm. Catherine?
There's an interesting technological issue that makes this debate hot. It used to be true that there just wasn't enough room on shelves for videotape eventually, that tapes became obsolete or were thrown out when the room ran out. But now most tapes or most video is stored digitally, and there is, in some sense, an infinite amount of storage available. I think an idea of a statute of limitations on how long you keep the tape is exactly the sort of thing that should be happening in the public sphere. But it's hard to have that debate when you're faced with a knee-jerk reaction. You know, cameras are creepy. So much better to sort of embrace the fact that, as Scott says, we're being taped a lot of places in private institutions already, and our privacy is something of an illusion, so better to accept that and have a real robust debate about the parameters for the video cameras themselves.
And Richard in Dunn County is with us now. Hi, Richard. We're just about at news time, so can you please be brief?
Of course. I want to say that, you know, this whole idea of surveillance is really just another means of keeping common people, working class people, in their place, because no one of means who is seen doing something perhaps illegal is going to be prosecuted, even though they're caught on camera doing it, or they're certainly going to be able to pay their way out of it. Whereas a common person sitting in their cubicle, for example, you know, making whatever, $7 an hour, is going to be punished.
Yeah, this will just hurt the lower class, Catherine?
I actually have to disagree, Richard. I think, in a way, cameras are a great equalizer. You can buy your way out of police testimony, but if the image is there, the image is there. So while it's certainly true that richer people and people with means do have more access to resources in courts and in legal proceedings, it's also true that everyone is caught on video the same, and if anyone is on that street, the video camera doesn't care how rich you are.
We're talking with Catherine Mangu Ward about the merits, drawbacks, and inevitability of the surveillance nation, a piece that she wrote for Reason Online. And we'll continue talking about it after this check of the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday morning, January the 30th. And we're talking about cameras watching us in stores, in gas stations, now many cities, governments installing cameras to monitor public places to prevent crime. Madison is considering doing this, installing two movable webcams downtown to keep an eye on potential law breaking. Is this a problem? Do you care that cameras are everywhere? Does this invade our privacy? Some groups think so. The New York Civil Liberties Union wonders if this phenomenon is invading our privacy rights and perhaps even our rights to assemble and associate. Our guest wrote a piece on this phenomenon saying that, you know, might as well get used to it. Her piece is Privacy Overrated, The Merits, Drawbacks, and Inevitability of the Surveillance Nation. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. In fact, our guest says that there could be an upside to all of this video surveillance, and that is that these video cameras can also capture the wrongdoing of police and keep police in check as well. Catherine Mangue Ward is the associate editor of Reason Magazine. She wrote a recent piece that is entitled, Is Privacy Overrated? And our next caller for her is DJ in Fond du Lac. Hi, DJ. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
One thing that I wanted to bring up is the fact that some people are now advocating the use of spy planes, the unmanned drones, to go over people's properties and film anything that's going on their property. And another thing is Fond du Lac has been using cameras for close to a decade now, and I've been witness to violations of law by police officers that they were basically unable to show any physical abuse by police officers because basically they were coercing people into giving testimony that was false just because they wanted to get that person to testify, or searching people illegally, and that person ended up not having any rights to be able to go ahead and confront that police officer for the violation of their rights.
DJ, I'm not sure I understand. Can you the police are doing this, but they're not on camera doing this.
No, they were on camera doing this, but the police officer and their superiors basically said that they made up a reason for either searching a person, or they basically denied that it ever happened that way.
Yeah.
As in, one person ended up getting arrested for a misdemeanor violation of possession of marijuana, and that I know of, you cannot have your truck confiscated in Wisconsin for a misdemeanor violation of that.
And DJ, when you say Fond du Lac has been doing this for a decade, are you talking about the cameras like in a cop car that record
traffic stop? At first, they were using cops with regular old VHS tapes sitting in windows, filming different parts of Main Street, and then they ended up putting up a pod in the center of Main Street, which was one of the heavier areas because of drunks from the bars and for vehicle problems.
Yeah. You want to react to that, Catherine?
Sure. I mean, it's certainly true that cameras won't solve all our problems, just as they don't cause them. There'll always be cases of police misbehavior, and now that police have cameras, sometimes they will misbehave with those cameras. But the question isn't, can we get the cameras to go away? Because if you look at the example of particularly very large cities like New York and L.A., the cameras just proliferate, and private businesses are multiplying their numbers just as much as government is. So there's a point where perhaps your best defense is your own camera, not only having public access to tape that's made by police, and I do think that's an important right, that people should be able to request tape of their own arrest, just as police could use that tape in their prosecutions, but also that if your friend or if the people that you know of had, for example, you used their cell phone and taped the encounter with the police, used the video camera in their cell phone or even a still camera, then they would have had their own evidence. And so it may be a case where at this point we can't put out the fire, but we can fight fire with fire. As for your earlier point about spy planes, it's certainly, there are a lot of interesting technologies out there, and some of them are scary. But if you think about Google Maps, we already have satellite images of the world. So those are only going to get better. They're only going to get more finely grained. And it may just be true, again, that our expectations of privacy should be low on those kind of issues. And as long as they can't see into your house, it's not clear that any legal lines have been crossed.
Well, that reminds me of a column just yesterday in Madison's Capital Times newspaper by columnist Rob Zaleski, who was commenting on the Madison plan to put up the cameras downtown. He was troubled when the Madison School District started installing video cameras in hallways and parking lots of some schools. And now he says, you know, they're going to do this downtown. While he writes, I doubt anyone would disagree that an increased police presence is necessary. I still question whether surveillance cameras are the way to go, not only because of the potential for abuse, but because it opens the door to all sorts of high-tech spying devices. And then he points out that in London, apparently, the next step here is installing listening devices. So the police can monitor conversations that are going on in that back alley.
It's true that London is either far ahead of us or farther down the path to destruction, whichever way you'd rather see it. They have a huge number of cameras there, and they have cameras of many varieties, including cameras that have a speaker built into them so that police can yell at you if they see you doing something illegal.
That's spooky.
In particular, London has a campaign against antisocial behavior. So these cameras tend to be used for littering, you know, spitting out your gum in the street. It seems like that's a bridge too far, not because of privacy concerns, but just almost for aesthetic reasons. It sort of seems ridiculous, right? You laughed when I described it.
Yeah, move on. Stop spitting your gum out. Well, let's go to another call. Al in Platteville.
Sure.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Joy. First of all, I would support the use of cameras in the public area. It's my understanding there's a crime spree going on in Madison, and it's in response to the crime that the police want to put that in there, the cameras in there. I think it's an issue of safety of the public is a greater concern than our privacy right when you're downtown. So I don't see where this is a big issue. I think if someone was downtown and was mugged, they might truly understand why the police need the cameras down there. It's in response to crime. It has nothing to do with violation of my private rights or anything. When I'm in the public, I think the public's greater concern is more important. That's the issue for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, though, then I think people say, I'm not a lawbreaker, so I don't mind, but I'm not a lawbreaker, but I might be troubled that this camera's recording me going into an establishment or attending an assembly that I don't want necessarily a videotape being, you know, shared with the world.
I see that as a huge leap from surveillance of crime to now let's look at someone who might be going somewhere. They're not committing a crime, but let's check and see where they go. That's a huge leap from where we're talking right now. And I just don't see that conversation is worth it when we're talking about a current crime spree where people are being mugged, potentially be killed, and the police need to respond to it. I mean, how many policemen can you hire to go downtown? Do you need 5? Do you need 20? Do you need 100? I think the taxpayers and throughout the state, and especially in Madison, would say, gee, our taxes are high enough. Can we put in some surveillance cameras? Can that help the police out?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be a lesser cost here? I think taxpayers would probably say, hey, let's try the cameras first. If that doesn't work, let's look at then maybe buying or hiring some more police officers or doing something else. But I can see where it's an effort by the police to bring a solution to a problem in a very short manner, and it may help, may not.
Yeah, let me get our guest in on this before our weather break. Catherine?
There's, I think, an interesting point also that the caller makes, which is there is a difference between looking for crime and looking at private behavior. But in particular, if you're going into some place that you wouldn't want someone to see you go in, a bar or something like that, then if you're exiting off a public street, there's already a certain expectation of public behavior there. But the use of cameras to track people in their day-to-day lives is not something that most people will bother to do, honestly. The police just have, as he says, limited resources, limited manpower, and they're, in most cases in a free country in the United States where actions like going into a bar are protected, going to prioritize catching criminals.
We are talking with Catherine Mangue Ward, Associate Editor of Reason Magazine, about her recent piece entitled, Is Privacy Overrated?, talking about how more governments like Madison are thinking about or installing cameras in public places to watch for lawbreakers. And we wonder if this concerns you. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock and coming up after 7, we'll talk about a proposed ordinance against public drunkenness that is going to be considered by the La Crosse City Council this week. Hoping in La Crosse to cut down on binge drinking. Is this the way to go? We'll talk more about it after 7 o'clock. We're talking about the proliferation of video surveillance cameras in our society, in our cities, all over in a lot of big cities. Chicago, some 200, another 100 being added soon. New York City has thousands of cameras. Madison now is considering putting two cameras, two webcams downtown to look out for lawbreakers. And some are concerned about this. Are you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest isn't so much. She is Catherine Mangue Ward, associate editor of Reason Magazine, who wrote a piece that was called Is Privacy Overrated?, where she talks about the pros, cons, but especially the inevitability of the surveillance nation. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890 are numbers to join in the conversation. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. Chris in Trumbullo is with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hi, yeah, I'm somebody that's of mixed opinion on this matter. I'm a police officer, recently served as a police school liaison officer, and the school I worked at installed cameras about halfway through the time I worked there, and it did have a remarkable effect in seeming to get a lot of things under control. I think the cameras serve mostly as a deterrent more than anything else, but also as a police officer, I'm pretty cognizant of how important civil liberties are, and I think we've got to be careful. And the other thing, though, I think is a lot of things, cameras are not a panacea. Often, if there's not anybody to watch them, they don't do a whole lot of good, so I think it's... I'll be honest, I've gotten real mixed feelings about them. I recognize their usefulness, but they scare me a little bit, too.
Yeah, and maybe they don't, they're not all they are cut out for, Catherine Mangue Ward.
I think Chris is absolutely right that cameras aren't a panacea, and to pretend like, you know, two 24-hour cameras on a downtown street or a handful of cameras in a school are going to cure any kind of criminal behavior, it would be silly, and I hope that lawmakers aren't promising anything like that. I actually think the case of cameras in schools is a unique instance, in part because kids don't have a choice about being there. I mean, a huge element of public cameras is the fact that if you really don't want to be taped, if you feel very strongly about not wanting to be caught on video, you could not go to the places where cameras are. You could avoid Main Street if that's really a priority for you. Kids in schools don't have that choice. Attendance is mandatory. There are truancy laws. So I actually think in a strange way, even though school cameras are considered a smaller step, a less controversial measure, maybe they should be more controversial because it's a little more akin to putting a camera in someone's home or in someone's workplace. It's a different kind of interaction that the kids have with the cameras. And I think Chris hits on, you know, certainly kids are aware of them and it might improve behavior, but at the same time, they're really not given a choice. They're really on tape no matter what they want. And I do think that's something of a problem.
Yeah. And you don't like a workplace installing a camera just to monitor employees' comings and goings?
Well, again, I think it depends on the level of information that's made available. If when I start work at a restaurant, I'm told it's part of my contract that I will be taped, then I can have the choice whether or not to work at that restaurant or work at that institution. I think hidden cameras are a problem in private places where people are spending a lot of their time. But I don't think that there's a problem with cameras per se in workplaces. But again, it's a matter of choice. If people can choose not to work under the eye of a camera, then to install a camera and let them know about it is fine. It's when that choice is taken away in a private space where you do have a legitimate expectation of privacy that things get dicey.
Thanks to Chris for calling in. Jerry in Viroqua is with us now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. It's good to be on. I have very mixed feelings about having any camera watching me. I'm like a lot of the callers. I have nothing to hide, but I sure don't want some camera watching me. I think it's time that we reverse it and have the cameras watching the government. This is where the camera should be, to find out what's going on behind closed doors so that we to protect the public from the government instead of the other way around.
That's an interesting point, Jerry, but nobody watches C-SPAN anyway, right, Catherine?
That's right. All three channels of it.
But what about, you want to talk a little bit more about her point?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I do think in public areas, the cameras are watching the government as well. Whether or not we can turn the all-seeing eye of a camera into the bureaucratic offices in the governor's mansion, say, is maybe be a debate worth having. But the notion that we should be using cameras, that the public should have the ability to use cameras for our own purposes, I think is a very legitimate one. Jerry makes an excellent point, which is why, as we discussed earlier, it might be one of the very important reforms or one of the very important laws that bracket the arrival of these cameras, which are the ability of the public to have access to the tape, the ability of the public to have access to the records, both of themselves and of government officials.
We touched on it a little bit in the first half hour, but talk a little bit about how people like Jerry, many of us, feel uncomfortable with the thought of cameras watching us, yet we do so many things in our day-to-day lives where data is being collected on, you know, what we do, and people know, you know, by using credit cards and the like, that that our private lives aren't really all that private.
That's right. A classic example of this is a grocery store membership card. Practically all of us have one. When you buy your groceries, you scan it. And then at some point further down the line, you get coupons or a discount or some sort of a reward for being a regular customer of the grocery store. Now, if we all pause to think about it for a second, we know that what's happening there is the grocery store is keeping information on everything that we buy. Mm-hmm. And so it turns out that when you look at people's real behavior, even people who say that they value their privacy very highly, that they maybe value their privacy a dollar off their next bag of Cheetos.
Yeah.
That's right about where they are. And I'm being flip, but it gets at a real point, which is that though people have the willies about this idea that cameras are watching them, they also act like their privacy isn't nearly as sacrosanct as they say. As you mentioned, the use of credit cards. There's also, you know, we long have known that there are cameras in ATMs or in banks.
Mm-hmm.
We like it that way. We like having our money protected. We like having the bank surveilled. That's been true for really decades. And we march gleefully in and out of the bank with no concern for our supposedly sacred privacy. So I think it's worth keeping in mind in this debate that we're already behaving as if much of our privacy isn't that valuable to us. As I said, a dollar off a bag of Cheetos, maybe.
Yeah.
But cameras are just one more angle of intrusion on that privacy. It's not as if they're going somewhere that no one else has tread.
Thanks to Jerry. Laura in Madison is with us now. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Well, I remember back when my Social Security card used to say, not to be used for identification purposes.
Yeah.
Isn't that a quaint notion?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have, just for the reasons you mentioned, I do not have any of those store cards. I avoid them like the plague, and I don't have credit cards either, because it is uncomfortable for me. However, I know that there are cameras all over the place. I know that we have increasingly used RFID tags. We have scanners that are able to see under clothing, infrared, see through walls. We have biometrics being used all over the place. We have to be vigilant about our privacy. I know that we had a camera that's exposed things like Abu Ghraib and the hanging of Saddam and what happened there. Hidden cameras or cameras that people have used, against oppression and power. But But I think we need to be vigilant that they aren't used wrongly on us, and how the warrants and the subpoenas are being dealt out and the reasons for it. I think we have to keep an eye on it. We have to be vigilant, too.
All right. Thank you, Laura. Catherine Mangu Ward, what do you think?
The caller brings up an excellent point and represents a real constituency on this issue, which is people who have made the decision to opt out of the convenience of a lot of modern tools that are available because they value their privacy highly. There are people out there, like our caller, who find that to be a very important thing and are willing to shape their lives to maximize their privacy. But the instances that were mentioned about the photographs at Abu Ghraib or the cell phone video of Saddam's execution, I think are the refutation. They are the response to that, which is, yes, we should be vigilant, but the rising tide of cameras probably can't be staunched. And so we need to think about ways to protect ourselves that don't involve a sort of privacy bubble that maybe actually involves stepping further into the realm of recording and records and video and using those for our own purposes.
We'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Catherine Mangu Ward, Associate Editor of Reason Magazine. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.